أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. أما بعد. Respected elders, dear brothers and sisters, my young friends, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. We begin by praising and thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our Lord, the Creator, the Sustainer, the Nourisher, and the Protector of every single one of us and of every single of His creation in the entire universe. And we begin by sending peace and salutations upon His beloved and final Messenger, Muhammad, the son of Abdullah, sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. Once upon a time, my brothers and sisters, there was a large family. They had many siblings, children, aunts, uncles, cousins, and they were all very close to each other. Everyone knew one another, they cared for each other, they supported one another. As the children and cousins grew older, they got married with people outside of their extended family, so they welcomed new members to their family, and they grew even bigger. And the great grandparents were keeping everyone together, keeping everyone connected. But eventually they passed away. And many members of the family moved away to different parts of the world and lost touch with one another. And now they have their own families, but they feel small because they feel like they are few in number. And they find challenges to be difficult to overcome because they don't have enough support. So they tend to give up and feel weak and helpless. However, my brothers and sisters, what they don't realize is that there are many other people who they don't know, who are actually linked or related to them in one way or the other. And that if they were just to organize, to work together wisely, intelligently, smartly, with one purpose, with a focus, they could actually achieve a lot. And on top of that, there are also others, people who are not linked to them, who are not like them, who are not related to them, who are willing to help. People of conscience, people of good morals and good character. And they're willing to help them, if only they're able to organize themselves and work constructively together. And on top of that, what they don't realize is that they have special blessings and special powers, but they just don't realize that they have them and they don't use them properly. My brothers and sisters, this is the story of this ummah today. The believers, our brothers and sisters in faith, are in every corner of the globe. Some large, some small. Some have roots which they have forgotten and have assimilated in their cultures, the host cultures in the lands in which they are in. Some of them face challenges and oppression. And a large portion are sincere. Are sincere and they want to do good and they care about their fellow believers, but there is no one to bring them together to work smartly, or most of them don't have anyone who can bring them together to work smartly and intelligently and wisely together to support one another. Plus, there are others who don't fully share the beliefs but are people of conscience who would help if they knew what was actually happening, if there was an organized effort to offer support. But brothers and sisters, every once in a while, we come to know of a situation in which people, and especially our fellow believers, are in trouble. And subhanAllah, over the past 50, 100 years, these instances, these situations don't seem to go away. but rather they seem to increase one after the other. And we think that we can't do anything. We feel helpless, but actually we can do something. One of those situations, and a very serious one that I'd like to talk about today, my brothers and sisters, is the humanitarian and human rights crisis that impacts at least 8 million Muslims. 8 million Muslims is twice, or close to twice, the size of Toronto and the greater Toronto area. These are our Uyghur brothers and sisters in East Turkestan, which is occupied by China. And, you know, as I go through the injustices of being done to them, imagine for a moment if this was happening to you and us here. And this is actually a skill that we should try to develop, that we, when we come across stories, when we come across narratives, when we come across what is happening to people, or indeed what happened to people in the past, even the stories of the prophets, that we try to place ourselves in their shoes, and we try to feel and appreciate and recognize what it must have felt like, or what it might feel like. Of course, we can't fully appreciate, we can't fully empathize, but nonetheless, try to make an effort that, well, how would it be if that was you in their shoes? So over 2 million Uyghur Muslims, mostly men, have been forced into concentration camps, which the Chinese government first denied that they existed, but now they admit that they exist because they can't hide them, and they call them re-education camps. These people are brothers, mostly, and sisters. They are tortured, they are brainwashed, and they are told to give up Islam. So it's not just about, you know, ethnic differences, it's not just about politics within China, but rather it has to do with their being Muslim as well. Forced to recite praises of the Communist Party of China, and this is actually the largest of concentration camps since the Nazis. And almost everyone of the Uyghur Muslims in Canada and America has at least some of their relatives in concentration camps. Some even have 50 to 100 family members who have been detained in these camps in subhuman conditions. The Chinese government accuses them of terrorism and violence, but in reality, the Chinese government is the one that is spreading the real terror in the region, despite their claims of re-educating and of normalizing the Muslims. In these camps, sadly, most women face serious and heartbreaking violence. They are violated in the worst of ways, and sterilization is forced upon them so that Uyghur women cannot bear children. And many sisters who have survived these camps have shared their horror stories. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for them. Most shockingly, my brothers and sisters, and with possible direct links to us, because you see, a lot of times we hear these things, and yes, we try to feel the pain, and we do feel pain to and concern to a certain extent, but we still feel that this is something which is far removed from us. It's on the other side of the world, and these are people that we probably, most of us, don't know, and perhaps we don't even know much about the area and the country and the land. So yes, we know we should be concerned, but there is a certain level of detachment. So most shockingly, with the possible direct link to us, is the fact that hundreds of thousands, so we're not just talking about thousands, we're talking about hundreds of thousands of Uyghur men and women are being used in forced labor camps or forced labor in factories to produce perhaps the clothes that we wear, or some of the toys that our children play with, or some of the gadgets that we like to enjoy today. When it says made in China, at least 83 global brands and companies are complicit in this forced labor scheme, including the biggest of names such as Nike, Adidas, Apple, Samsung, BMW, and others. So we can see we can have a very important role to play, especially when it comes to this aspect of this crisis. Those of our brothers and sisters there in the region who are still considered to be free are essentially living in an open-air prison. It is a fact that their women are forced to let men from the Chinese Communist Party live in their homes. This is something that's been covered widely in the media. And China admits sending, they admit themselves openly, sending 1 million Han Chinese as guests to their homes, while the men of the family are not there. And the women are even being coerced into marrying non-Muslim men. Almost 500,000, half a million children are sent to Chinese-run orphanages while their parents are still alive and they are taught to give up Islam in favor of communism. About 5,000 masajid, because this is an area that was not China, right? China essentially invaded, took over. And this was a Muslim area. Islam had been there for a very long time. There's masajid everywhere. Over 5,000 or about 5,000 masajid are being demolished, right? And there's evidence, satellite evidence of masajid that existed, that were demolished, and there's developments happening there. In one case, there's a hotel being built. These brothers and sisters cannot fast in Ramadan or go to the masjid. Islamic weddings, nikahs, and janazas, funerals are forbidden. Cannot say salam to one another. Halal food, halal meat, slaughter is banned in Uyghur areas, and all Muslim restaurants must sell pork. The households are divided into groups of 10 to spy on each other. And this sounds like something that's coming out of, you know, some sort of horror movie or something, but it's not. It's actually happening. Not allowed to use cell phones without government spyware. Security checks every 100 yards. Their car must be fitted with tracking devices. Passports confiscated, not allowed to travel within China without a pass. And the thing is that, yes, there have been Muslims living in China, and quite comfortably in some instances, you know, in some of the major cities, you know, you'll find, even in Islamic University, you know, streets with halal restaurants, buses even going through, public buses going through those areas, and I'm talking about, you know, mainland China, Beijing, Shanghai, those large cities, you know, buses having signs in Arabic, announcements in Arabic. So yes, that has been the case for some of the Muslim minorities living in some of the larger cities, even masajid, you know, being maintained by the Chinese government. However, the oppression that we're seeing now, we're noticing that it's not just stopping at the Uyghur Muslims, because the Hui Muslims of China are ethnically Chinese in their language and appearance, and now they are also reporting harassment and persecution by the Chinese government. Even reports of other minorities, Christians, being harassed are now also surfacing. So my brothers and sisters, it goes without saying that, of course, we should be concerned. We should be concerned because the Prophet ﷺ has told us that we are all like the bricks of a building. إِنَّ الْمُؤْمِنَ لِلْمُؤْمِنِ كَالْبُنْيَانِ. Verily, the believers are like bricks of a building. يَشُدُّ بَعْضُهُ بَعْضًا. Each part strengthening the other, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam clasped, interlocked his fingers together when making this statement. And establishing justice is from the mission of all prophets, and we are all the believers and followers of Allah's prophets alaihi wasallatu wasallam. So it is for us to revive this mission of establishing truth and justice in the world, because hardly anyone else is going to do it. We see organizations, countries, groups acting, and a lot of times we call out the double standards, which is good, but really, what do we expect? What do we expect? They're really out there for their own survival and their own benefit, promoting democracy where it is beneficial to them and shutting down democracy where it isn't. Right? It shocks us, but really it shouldn't. Because they're all out there for their own survival and their own interests. So we can safely say that there's hardly anyone, if anyone at all, who's actually standing up for truth and justice with sincerity. And it is our job to revive that mission of the Prophet alayhim as-salatu was-salam, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, لَقَدْ أَرْسَلْنَا رُسُلُنَا بِالْبَيِّنَاتِ وَأَنزَلْنَا مَعَهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْمِيزَانَ لِيَقُومَ النَّاسُ بِالْقِسْطِ. Indeed, we sent our messengers with clear proofs, and with them we sent down the scripture and the balance of justice, so that people may administer justice. And of course, we have the famous saying of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, as reported by Anas radiallahu anhu, "Unsur akhaka zaliman aw mazluman," that help your brother whether he is an oppressor or is being oppressed. It was said, "Ya Rasulullah, we help the oppressed, but how do we help the oppressor? Surely the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam cannot be instructing us to help our brother or our sister when they are oppressing others." That is unfathomable, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam would be encouraging oppression and and encouraging injustice. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam responded, تَأْخُذُ فَوْقَ يَدَيْهِ, that by seizing his hand, by seizing their hand and stopping them from committing this oppression and injustice. Now my brothers and sisters, we often think, as I said, that we can't really do anything. But actually, we can. And the first step in realizing that we can do something is changing our mindset. Changing our mindset from we are helpless and we cannot do anything, to saying and believing that the reality, which is that we are not helpless and we can do something. Alhamdulillah. Because this defeatist attitude and mentality leads to no action. Because when a person believes, oh, I can't do anything, I'm helpless, I surrender, I can't do anything. When I say and tell myself, I can't do anything, do you think I'm going to do something? I'm not. I'm not even going to try because I feel like I can't do anything. Right? So the first thing we have to change in our minds, in our hearts, is to believe and understand that we can do something. And we are not helpless. Alhamdulillah. Collectively, the ummah has been blessed. No shortage of wealth. Alhamdulillah. Collectively. Yes, some areas have, some don't. But collectively, blessed, alhamdulillah. Okay. Numbers, blessed, alhamdulillah. It's not like we are small in number. Skills, blessed, mashallah. Okay. Even in this room, in this masjid right now, you count how many skills we each have in different areas. Okay, maybe a lot in tech because of course the area we live in, mashallah. But generally, we have other skills as well. Okay, so count all of the skills that we have, put them all together. MashaAllah, a lot of skill. Just in this community, in this city, and put together everyone in the entire ummah, tremendous skills, MashaAllah. All we need, my brothers and sisters, is to come together to work collectively, smartly, wisely, intelligently. And for that, we need some leadership. And most importantly then, follow our action with lots of dua and trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the secret of the believers. Sincere action, dua and trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The results do not come by not doing anything. If you look at the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if you look at the stories in the Quran, even the story of Sayyidah Maryam alayhi salam, there has to be action first, even if it is small. Even if it does not appear that the action is going to lead to anything. But there has to be some movement, some desire to have, to do something. And then to make dua and to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to place trust in Allah, and the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes. MashaAllah, there is a group of sincere brothers and sisters who are trying to do this. You may have heard of the group, you may have not. They've had different names in the past, but one core name that represents the group and the organization is Justice for All. And mashallah, I actually didn't know this until recently, they have standing at the United Nations. They have established links with various governments and legislators. conducting research, doing things intelligently, wisely, documenting abuses, documenting human rights injustices and violations, putting together reports, conducting research, credible research, leading lobbying and education efforts, and mashallah, they have had results. Alhamdulillah, they have been successful in mobilizing Muslims and people of conscience in North America, in the US and Canada, in getting action to stop the Bosnian war in the 90s, getting the oppression against our Rohingya brothers and sisters declared a genocide, which is actually a fairly big deal, getting a court case launched against the Burmese military, or Myanmar military, at the International Court of Justice, and more. And just 2 days ago, or earlier this week, there was a motion by Myanmar to stop this case, which was rejected by the judges. So the case has permission to move forward in the International Court of Justice, alhamdulillah. My brothers and sisters, these may seem like small steps and accomplishments, but in today's world, they're not small. Whatever the circumstances we find ourselves in, and this goes for us as individuals, this goes for us as families, as communities, and as an ummah, whatever circumstance we find ourselves in, we have to work with whatever or whichever tools are available to us. And at this time, these are the tools and mechanisms available to us, as imperfect as they may be. After taking whatever action is possible, make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Place your trust in Allah and don't underestimate the power of dua. Don't underestimate the power of dua. So many people, mashallah, have witnessed what they consider to be miracles. They said something. There was no way of it happening, and it happened. They make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it happen. And these are witnessed individually. So if they can be witnessed individually, and we have to be looking out for them as well also. Right? Sometimes they happen to us, but we're not even paying attention. We're not even recognizing it as a great favor and a miracle from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for us. So we have to be looking out for them. They're all around us actually. And if these things can happen to us as individuals, they can certainly happen to us collectively as communities and as the ummah. So my brothers and sisters, regarding this difficult and terrible scenario that our brothers and sisters are in, what can we do? So first of all, as with any issue, learn yourself about the issue, about the culture, about the plight of the Uyghur Muslims, and share it with others. Now again, these things take time. We think it doesn't really make a difference, but actually it does. Right? It may be the shortest, easiest forms of activism, sharing an article, liking an article. Maybe we should do more. But it's a start. It's a start. It's a small step, but it's a start because it spreads awareness. And it's a process that takes a while for it to filter through and for things to happen. But it's a start. And if we don't even do that, then we are not making an effort. So learn and share it with others. Learn from them directly. You know, there's a new masjid that's actually open in our city, founded by our Uyghur brothers and Muslims in Orleans. Okay. So visit, learn from them directly. Learn from credible human rights organizations and their reports. You know, organize seminars, events in your community, share with family on the genocide that is happening. Advocate. Advocacy is very, very powerful, very important. Right? They have a website, saveuyghur.ca, 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 to send letters to members of parliament and to call your MP to end the concentration camps and save the Uyghur Muslims, asking the Canadian government to introduce stricter laws to ensure that Chinese products coming into this country are not made by forced labor of the Uyghur Muslims, to establish a program, a special program, for Uyghur refugees to come to Canada on an expedited basis. These are things the government has done and continues to do for people of various regions in need, and it should be opened up for the Uyghurs as well. Of course, donating to support the advocacy work, the groups and the organizations that are fighting the genocide, is also very important. So my brothers and sisters, the message I want you to take home today, inshallah, for all of us, is specific to our brothers and sisters, but also about our mindset of when we come across circumstances of oppression and injustice, to not feel helpless, and to know that there are things that we can do, and ultimately to place our trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to make dua, but first after we have made whatever effort is possible for us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect our brothers and sisters in East Turkestan. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant relief and ease to them and all of those who are suffering and those who are oppressed. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala strengthen us and guide us to use the blessings and the freedoms that we enjoy here, which are greater than most people in the entire world, to use those to serve Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to help others. Ameen. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Inshallah, we'll take a few moments to offer sunnah or nafil prayers for those who would like to, and then we'll continue, inshallah.